What a change from 1 year. I have a strange question for you today. What does it mean to cry? Strange, wouldn't you say, at least for this morning? And the answer to that question, what does it mean to cry, seems so obvious. But is it? Because you see, to cry has two meanings, each distinct and worlds apart. In one sense, to cry means to sob, to weep bitter tears in times of emotional distress. Of all God's creatures, we humans were given tear ducts and emotional sensitivities to weep. So, at times of loss, stress, sorrow, pain, and depression, we cry. I hope it doesn't surprise you that Jesus cried as well. From infant tears shed in the Bethlehem manger to the sobs of loss cried at the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus did cry. It is also logical to assume that Jesus shed his tears at the whipping post and while he was on the cross. Jesus was human, after all. Jesus did cry. But on this most holy of days, we celebrate the turning of that word. For to cry can mean something entirely different. To cry can mean to shout, to cry out in joyful abandon, to shout and sing and cry and scream cheerful alleluias. Indeed, today we celebrate the turning of the word as our tears of sadness, our Good Friday sorrow, turn to shouts of joy. And why? Because the one who cried out, Father, forgive them, from Calvary's cross now cries out, forgiven, renewed, beloved, alive. And there beside the tomb with Mary Magdalene, stunned by the sound of her Lord, he beckons her and us to follow. For you see, this is not a once and for all turning of our tears, but the day will come when from the graves on which we have shed our tears of loss and from our own graves as well shall arise shouts of resurrection joy, cries of alleluias. Christ is risen. Alleluia. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And so will we. To the eternal praise and glory of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Look at me. I'm crying again. There are people who say that's all I ever do. Good news, bad news, tears, that's me. I'm not apologizing, it's just the way I am. I've cried so many times these past few days, these past few years. You're going to just have to put up with another torrent of tears. But these are worth it. I wouldn't change these tears for anything. I'm acquainted with the other kind, you know, the tears of shame. Shame for my life, for what I had been, for what I had done, for what I had endured. Years of being used and abused, of sin piling higher and my soul sinking lower. I shed my tears, believe me, bitter, helpless, hopeless tears. and tears of guilt as well. Was it because of me and others like me that my Lord had to be crucified? He had befriended us, the despised, publicans, harlots, sinners, lumped into a single group, and his acceptance of us brought down on him the scorn and worse, the hatred and the hostility that people in authority are quick to heap on us, publicans, harlots, and sinners, lumped into a single group. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance, he once said. The lost sheep of the house of Israel. When he first found me, I was surely lost. He looked at me, he looked right at me, and he didn't turn away in disgust. He didn't turn away at all. He offered me forgiving love, love that saw me, truly saw me as a person, as one who needed help, his help. He told me he had cast 7 demons out of me, and a person possessed by 7 demons is surely in need of help. I had only to listen to him to know that he had the power to do that. Can you imagine how I cried when that happened? After that, I followed him everywhere. The other women and I did what we could for him and for his disciples, food, provisions, wherever they were and whatever they happened to need. It was a wondrous time, a time to grow and to learn, and each day was like a new gift to be opened. I will never forget the thrill of following closely after him as he entered Jerusalem. I joined the others waving palms, and I think that I was singing more loudly than the rest. Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna in the highest, and tears streamed down my face to see that the multitudes understood, that they regarded him as highly as we did. It was almost like being lifted from this earth and experiencing the joy of heaven. Before that week was done, I was crying again. This time in horror, disbelief, and agony. Crucify him, the crowds had yelled. Crucify him. And they did. They crucified my Lord. They have taken him, I sobbed, and with him that part of my life that had just been given back. He saved others, someone shouted scornfully, and I knew who he meant. For I was one of those others, the publicans, the harlots, and the sinners lumped into a group. Let him save himself. She is doing this for my burial, my Lord had said of me just 1 week earlier, as I washed his feet with my tears. Yes, with my tears, and I dried them with my hair. Those were tears of gratitude. And too soon, there would be more to flow. With the women at the roadside, I cried in despair. I cried as he trudged slowly, painfully to Golgotha. Do not weep for me, but for yourselves, he said to us. I did. I cried for his mother standing beneath the cross, and for his disciples so frozen with fear that all but one they had forsaken him. I sobbed as they took his body down so cold and pale and dead. I even wept to learn that the spices that we had gathered so quickly for his burial were not enough, that we would have to leave him there unfinished, as it were, until the Sabbath day had passed. I shuddered when the great stole was rolled into place, and I walked away alone and dazed in my grief. Can you imagine what Saturday was like? It was like living the nightmare over and over again. Like everything was done and yet undone. He was dead and buried, and yet the burial was incomplete, just like my life without my Lord. Undone and incomplete. Sunday, finally it dawned. I could not wait. I went alone before the others could leave. I wanted that. I needed that, to be alone with him in my emptiness. But wait, things are not the way we left them. Something has gone terribly wrong. Peter, John, I ran to tell them what I'd seen. The body's gone. The stone is rolled away. They have taken him. Before I could begin to follow, they had run ahead, and I was left alone. Alone again, to find my way back to that monstrous, cruel place. By the time I got there, Peter and John were nowhere to be seen. Once more, I was alone. And once more, this was just too much. I collapsed to the ground, and the tears began to flow. "Why are you crying?" someone asked, as I knelt there with my face buried in my hands. "If you have taken him," I said, it had to be the gardener, "if you have moved him, please show me where." "Mary, it was his voice. Alive? Alive. He is alive. He's alive. I have seen him, and I have spoken with him, and he is alive. All he ever said, or did, or was, or promised, now it's all true. It's possible, and more than that, it's true and sure. Your sins are forgiven. You are free. I go to prepare a place for you. Because I live, you too will live." When I got up this morning, I didn't think I had any tears left to shed. But these tears are different. The Lord is risen. He's alive. He called me by my name. I know I will never be alone again. And look at me. I can't stop crying.